Welcome to the Dive Podcast, presented by Willamette Week, where every Saturday we discuss the biggest news stories of the week with Portland's noisiest newsmakers, savviest culturistas, and some of the best journalists in the game. I'm your host, Brianna Wheeler, and I want to hear from you. So send your questions and comments to me, bwheeler@wweek.com. All right, y'all, enjoy the show.
What's your favorite thing to eat in Portland? Is it an artisan donut from your neighborhood baker? Maybe it's a sloppy sandwich from the deli around the corner. Or maybe it's the ripe summer blackberry you pluck from the horribly invasive bush in your own backyard. Personally, I have loved all of the above and more, because for all of the bullshit the city puts us through, damn, there are some boss places to eat. It's Saturday, October 15th, and this is episode 93 of The Dive. This week's issue of WW is a love letter to Portland's ever-changing, constantly evolving, never-the-same food scene. Whether it's cart pods or food halls or vegan fast food, Portland is a trendsetter. This week my guest is WW contributor Jason Cohen, whose food reviews have been activating my salivary glands for a minute. Jason and I will chat about his contribution to this week's cover package, Perfect Portland Dining Days. Jason rounded up some of Portland's newest culinary hotspots, and we'll talk about what he'll miss most about Portland's food scene as he prepares for a cross-country move. But first, here's what I learned from this week's edition of Willamette Week. Portland police are recovering more guns than ever, according to recent ATF data. The agency helps law enforcement trace sellers of firearms found at crime scenes, and last year, 1,339 traces were reported. That's up 50% from decades prior. Nigel Jaquist reports that initial research performed by nonpartisan firm RTI International regarding Measure 110, the decriminalization of drugs, finds no correlation between the measure passing and increased calls for police service. Though law enforcement reps implied an increase in property crimes and disorderly conduct drastically rose after the passing of Measure 110, the data doesn't show a change in the amount of calls to service. Jury is still out on overdose fatality data, but keep in mind, though decriminalization began in 2021, harm reduction services were only just funded in the last 3 months. Sophie Peel's profile of Renee Gonzalez paints a picture of a time and place candidate that may not have been successful in other voting cycles. His Law and Order platform is in direct opposition to his opponent, Joanne Hardesty, and the organization he founded, ED300, was created to push agencies, officials, and elected leaders to reopen schools during the early days of the pandemic. Last year, ED300 endorsed a slate of anti-school closure school board candidates statewide. More than half of those candidates were also endorsed by groups fundamentally at odds with reproductive and LGBTQIA rights. There's something to be said here about being so voracious to reopen schools amidst twin pandemics of COVID and school shootings, and a platform that includes flooding the streets with more police officers and sweeping homeless encampments, further criminalizing poverty. But what do I know? I'm just a foxy podcaster, one or two tragedies away from being homeless herself. But fuck it, let's go out to eat. On that note, let's pivot over to my chat with Jason Cohen about all the amazing things he ate as he prepared to leave Portland for the East Coast.
I mean, the hardest thing is probably the places that I can't ever go to again because of the places that closed, you know, over the last 3 years, some of which was pandemic-related and some of which was maybe just accelerated by the pandemic. Yeah. You know, like Cacao, Clyde Common, you know, I mentioned those in the story, and, you know, countless food carts. I mean, you know, just, I mean, my God, Ripe just closed, you know, which was formerly Beast, you know, which is huge news.
Yeah.
Sad news. A lot of my, my food writing for Willamette has been largely during the pandemic, like the most frequent, and so I've also seen a lot of people who never thought they could own restaurants before, you know, get their own restaurants and other people try new things that they wouldn't have before.
There's been such a shift in the restaurant industry since the pandemic, and it's been such a like a fascinating thing to watch, like who survives and who doesn't, and why are the restaurants surviving that are surviving, and why are the ones that are failing?
Yeah, and I mean, hard conversations about you know what's sustainable in the industry, what's sustainable for the employees. Yeah. You know?
So in regards to the roundup, just kind of like going like place by place, I'm just drooling over every single place you described. I actually live kind of in the neighborhood of St. Beatrix. I must drive past that place all the time, and I always thought it was just a coffee shop. But for the uninitiated, the people who have not read through the roundup yet, what is it about St. Beatrix that makes it so unique?
And it was, I think, a coffee shop years ago. But it had been called Bushel and Peck. And I think, I read about a savory Danish that was basically a hot dog with sauerkraut on a Danish with pastry cream, cheddar flavored pastry cream. So they do that. They do croissants like that. They also do regular sweet stuff. They do cakes. They do pie.
When you're describing St. Beatrix, like, you had me at Danish, and then you lost me at hot dog, and then you got me back at sauerkraut, and then you got me back even harder with this, like, cheese...
cheddar creme patisserie, and I had to, like, think about, okay, what is that actually? So basically, it's pastry cream, the same thing you'd get in an eclair.
So another restaurant that you described that kind of, like, blew my mind and got me super excited was La Fondita. And, it got me especially excited because of the city's kind of lukewarm reputation for comida.
And they've opened a whole other restaurant, 2 days ago, too, that I haven't even, figured out. I just noticed on their Instagram.
That's fantastic.
Your roundup includes the Smash Burger from Pleasure Burger at Pine Street Market and a brisket burger from Holy Trinity Barbecue. So I just want to let the readers know what the difference is between a smash burger and then something like the pub burger that you got at Holy Trinity.
We've been, we've been getting smashed by smash burgers the last couple of years, but that's totally kind of your classic fast food style, In-N-Out, Shake Shack, kind of. In-N-Out's not really, but the keto smash burger is it's a very small ball of ground beef, maybe 2 ounces, smashed down, ideally still a little medium rare on the inside, crispy on the outside, and then you build that with the crunchy condiments and the squishy bun, and it's a burger you can hold in your hand and finish in 4 or 5 bites if you're so inclined. And Pleasure Burger does a really good one. There's a bunch of places in town doing them these days, but they're kind of under the radar because they're down at Pine Street Market, and they replaced Bless Your Heart Burger technically down there, but obviously people only starting to come back downtown kind of in the spring. Still feels brand new. They've been around for a year apparently. But
oh wow.
Yeah, but it's still. Well, what's funny too, because Andy Pruitt in that paper wrote about downtown dining, and then of course we did that cover story a couple of weeks ago about Downtown Is Back, and so that was also kind of a big part of my experience writing this story. Is we were in the Pearl, we were in the Park Blocks, we were at Pine Street Market, we went to Northwest, and actually took the streetcar and the bus, and people were out. It was the weekend. People were at restaurants and at shows, and it was great. It was nice. That was part of my it was my staycation basically, my goodbye to Portland staycation weekend.
So you did all of this reporting on weekend days mostly?
No, it varied, depending on where, because it was all over town. Mm-hmm. So, with the Holy Trinity brisket burger, that was just almost dumb luck, right? Like they posted on Instagram, hey, we're going to be at Mayfly on Thursday. And I was like, oh, I got to finally have that burger. And I also live really close to Mayfly. So that worked out great. So the brisket burger is, as you would imply, brisket, but 100% brisket. Some places will throw just a little bit of brisket into their chuck patty, but this is all brisket. And then it's smoked, so they form that patty with coarse ground brisket and then put it in the smoker for 45 minutes to get some of that smoke flavor. Whoa. And that you probably wouldn't want to eat, it's like medium rare, but it probably hasn't been finished or maybe taken fully to temperature yet. But then they finish it on the flat top, to get some good char on the mm-hmm. outside. And they put 2 slices of American cheese on that one and, the usual stuff. But they were also doing a Frito pie burger the day we were there, where they put, chili and Fritos and mustard and onions.
Did you try that one?
Yeah, we had both. Yeah, my wife and I, we shared.
Tell me about the Frito burger. Was it worth the calories?
Oh, yeah. Well, we used to live in Texas, so they have something called the San Antonio Bean Burger there, which is refried beans, on top of a cheeseburger with Fritos. So, mm-hmm. Yeah, that was right in our sweet spot. And Holy Trinity is a Texas-inspired place. He's a Texan, so.
Oh, right.
So, yeah, we ran into that, yeah.
So you mentioned that you were doing most of this dining on the west side and downtown, and you said that you noticed the vibe that people were out. People were enjoying the downtown area?
Yeah, big time. Some places were more crowded than others, mm-hmm. but, we had to scramble, for a few tables, and others it wasn't as hard, and you think, wow, people, if only people knew, how easy it was, that they could be downtown having brunch right now on a Sunday, eating great Mexican food.
Brunch on a Sunday, my gosh. Yeah, that's I've been in brunch purgatory downtown for too many times, just waiting and waiting, so...
I think it's like, there's something to be like, it's very exciting that we're talking about downtown in this excited way, you know, that restaurants are too full, that people are waiting to eat. That's exciting news.
Yeah. And the other thing that I also noticed, and not just at multiple places, is very young crowd. Like, I'm not even sure who some of them were. Like at Pine Street Market, you know, in the old days, Pine Street Market would be tourists and sort of, you know, middle-aged foodies, you know, it was the first food hall. And this time it seemed like it was mostly younger people, you know, people under 30 that were out and about in downtown Portland, you know, getting a bite. And then JoJo, like times 10, you know, I mean, JoJo was kind of like the youngest, hippest, most diverse crowd I've ever seen in the Pearl District in 20 years.
Oh, snap. Yeah, I've been trying to go to JoJo, but it's always packed. And I live on the east side, so getting over to the west side is a whole thing, too. And it warmed my heart to hear you say, like, oh, yeah, we just walked in. It was a little bit crowded. We just walk in, and it was no big deal.
Yeah, we were lucky. It was a Wednesday night. It was about 6 o'clock. You know, it might have been different at 8 o'clock. It's also a counter service restaurant. So you know, you just wait in line, you place your order, and then you find an open table. So it's not quite as bad as if you're, like, putting in your name, you know, waiting for a table for your reservation. I'm the opposite, of course. You know, I'm a classic former downtown resident, never leave my quadrant person. You know, we live in North Portland now, but I never got to the truck very often, you know, and the pandemic was great for that kind of, because, like, all of a sudden there were no cars and no traffic, right? So you're like, hey, I think I'll go for a 10-mile drive that I would never do in a million years during a normal time. But even so, I didn't have a ton of experience going to the truck, so I was happy to you know, get to try the restaurant. And we've gone back already, actually, since I wrote that. You know, as I mentioned in a tweet, you know, obviously the Twitter account is a big part of the restaurant's, you know, brand and popularity. And, you know, there's a crossover with the Blazers Twitter. And then, you know, Justin, the owner, has also preemptively banned Ted Wheeler from coming to JoJo. And so that's a big selling point for a lot of people.
Oh, my gosh. No relation, by the way. Brianna Wheeler, right? Ted Wheeler, no relation. Wow. Just putting that out there. Somebody tweeted at me about something I wrote a few weeks ago, and they said, I can't believe Ted Wheeler's daughter would have the nerve to say something like this. Who? What's your favorite burger in Portland?
I wish I could have done a full survey to update. You know, I mean, as I said in the story, I feel like Pleasure Burger would be a contender. I'm really simple. I really do like just a very simple smash burger, you know, pickle, onion, sauce, or, you know, or ketchup, mustard, mayo. I mean, I still have a real soft spot for Bless Your Heart, because it was one of the first people to do that. But of course, a lot has happened since then, you know, and they're no longer in Pine Street, and they have different owners. They're not even called that anymore. I think they're called BYH. I'm still kind of a Burger Stevens guy, to be honest. I feel like they got overlooked for a while, and they struggled like everybody else, right? They moved, they closed, they, you know, they were in Pioneer Square, they weren't, you know, they're at Prost, but they're also at Hinterland now, I think, right? So, and for a while they were doing takeout out of Dig a Pony. But that to me is still, you know, he's got that aesthetic of, you know, I'm not going to make this burger too complicated. It's still just a really good, solid burger.
Yeah.
I did really enjoy Yes Please Burger, which I also wrote about, which they're struggling as well because they were for sale. But he's the guy who's like an evangelist for the healthiest, most natural possible burger. Like, he won't put ketchup on his burger. He won't, you know, he makes his own American cheese, you know, because American cheese is full of chemicals. You can't actually make your own American cheese without still using some kind of chemical, actually. But still, it's a more natural process. So, yeah, those are two good ones.
While you're out there putting together this piece, what was the most interesting thing that you ate?
I mean, probably the pork. I was going to peek at the story, but you know, probably the stuff at Phuket was, you know, the pork dish, which has gotten a lot of press. But, you know, I mean, they cut up the pork, they serve it with two different kinds of condiments and all these little side, you know, powdered rice, and you stir the lime, you squeeze the lime juice yourself, and you stir it together, and, you know, and try to. I almost felt like I was supposed to be eating a taco. I was like, where's my lettuce wrap or my piece of rolled bread, you know, that I could roll around this. But it was really good, and the side dishes were really good. They had like curry glazed potatoes and, you know, some roasted carrots with like coconut. I mean, they make great food there. So, you know, I mean, I'm sure they, you know, it's not the same, you know, it's not the same food or the same regions, but obviously Portland's always been known for at least one Thai restaurant empire at any given time. And we lost the previous one. And so now we have a new one.
Was there anything that was left out of the piece?
Well, I mean, there were things, yeah, there were places like I said, there was the idea of like, I wish I could, you know, spend a day on Willamette Week's dime going to all my old favorite restaurants and write about that too. But, you know, I could only do one story, right? There's a few, you know, little places that I didn't get to that that I may still get to and maybe even write about before I go, you know, or in these last few days. It could still happen. You know, we have to pack up the kitchen, so I may as well get out a little, right?
Yeah, there you go. Big thanks to my guest this week, Jason Cohen, and thank you for joining me. I hope you'll join me again next week. Until then, bye!